Well, speaking of moms, as luck would have it, I have a message about moms today. We all know important how moms are. I mean, we quite literally would not exist without moms. All of us are here because of a mom. And as every mom can attest, once the labor is complete, then the real work begins. We can't overestimate the impact of good mothers in children's lives and ultimately the impact those children will have on society. It's also true that a bad mother can have the exact opposite effect on the child and later on society. And as we search for ways to protect our family, there's constant... The news is full of bad things that are happening. And there's debate all about what we have to do about it. What can we do to protect our society? How can we save society? How can we save our children, protect our children? And it boils down to we need good moms. We need good, godly moms. That's what's going to save everything. Dads, you're not off the hook. Come back in 5 weeks. We'll get to you. But today we're here to talk about moms. And I'm not here to pick on moms. You know, I'm not here to say anything bad, but you really are. There was a song one time that the hand that rocks the cradle moves the world. And it's true that moms have that impact. They can raise us for good or raise us for bad. They can be a positive influence or they can be a negative influence. And it's hard, moms, I understand. How do you walk that fine line between loving and enabling, discipline and gone too far? It's a balancing act. In this day and age, it's getting harder and harder to be a parent of any type. But I want to encourage you. There's a story, and I'll be honest, until I started doing the reading for this, I knew this woman existed. I didn't even remember her name, though, until I was doing the reading for today to do this message on moms. So it's probably not a mom that you think of. We all are familiar with, of course, Mary, and we all are familiar with Proverbs 31, talking about the mother there and all that. But I want to talk to you about a woman that you probably haven't heard of. Her name is Abby, A-B-I. It's also Abijah is how it's also pronounced. And unless you're a really good student of the Old Testament, you're probably wondering who am I about to speak of. We find her mentioned just two places in the Bible, and we're going to find it first in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Eliah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned about 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. So far, it doesn't seem like anything that stands out from any other transition of government that's recorded for us in the Old Testament. But if we read on in 2 Kings 18, verses 5 and 6, we read this. He, Hezekiah, trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him or among all the kings of Judah, nor were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. He was the best king in the history of Judah. Well, that's a good... We're off to a good start. That's a nice story. How does it going to tie into that? Well, let's read on. Hezekiah wasn't born into a godly family. His father was a king by the name of Ahaz. Ahaz was an actually evil king. We're lucky Hezekiah survived to take the throne. Because we read about Ahaz in 2 Chronicles 28, 1 through 3. We'll read about Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made molded images for the Baals, and he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his children in the fire according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He burned his own children with fire, and that was not an uncommon practice back then. That's one of the things that the nations around did, and that's one of the things that God told Israel, don't do this anymore. But this king Ahaz did that. So what's the difference? And Ahaz was not alone. His father before him was a pretty bad guy. Ahaz just kind of kept the pattern going. Why did Hezekiah turn out differently? Why was he a good king? Why did he follow God? Because he had a good mom. See, a good mom can overcome a whole lot of obstacles in a child's life. History is replete with people who came out of poverty and accomplished something for themselves. I saw a documentary a while back on Dr. Ben Carson. Became a chief of neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins, one of the top doctors in the country. Wound up serving in a cabinet position in the United States government. His mom was illiterate. So, well, she's illiterate, poor woman. These children are just going to wind up being in the system like every other child, born to a poor, illiterate black woman in this country. But she decided no. And that's the thing, as a mom, you just decide no. My children aren't going to be a statistic. They're not going to follow the pattern. They're not going to do what everybody expects them to do. They're going to be better. They're going to be good. And even though she couldn't read, they had to write book reports. And she had to look over it like she was reading it. For years, they didn't realize she couldn't even read. But she was a mom, and she was going to do whatever it took to make sure her son succeeded. And regardless of where you fall politically, you can't argue with the fact that he did succeed. Way beyond what anybody would have imagined. And history, that's just one that came to me off the top of my head. History is full of stories like that. And the difference is moms, parents, being involved. Not allowing them to use their circumstances as an excuse for what they're going to do in life. Moms are going to make the hard choices. You know, sometimes when you're a mom, you understand when you ground kids, sometimes you have to ground yourself. I'm going to borrow a story from Mary. This one Friday, picked up the kids, five kids. We got outdone by Gloria and Belinda. Five kids. We pick them up on Friday. She's like, great, it's Friday. We're going to go to Whataburger so I don't have to cook for these people. I can, yes. But of course, as children will do, particularly boys, you're forewarned. As boys will tend to do, they like to run out and break the rules. And they were already warned before they got out the car that if they broke the rules, there would be no Whataburger. They're going home. Well, they broke the rules, and so Mary had a choice to make. Was that an idle threat? Am I going to go ahead and just get the Whataburger because I've earned it this week? I deserve a break. Or is she going to make the hard choice and ground herself along with them? Well, she made the hard choice. Back in the car, nobody's getting Whataburger. Now I have to cook. Wasn't happy about it. But you know what? It's not always about what's going to make you happy at the moment. And you allow the children to do that. You go, well, that's a small thing. So what they did, they ran to the door. They got out beforehand. A bad life is built on a series of bad choices, just like a good life is built on a series of good choices. Who teaches them those choices? It's going to be mom. It's amazing. This good mom turned a kingdom around. You guys, at this point in time, the kingdom of Israel was split into north and south. There was Israel, there was Judah. During the reign of Hezekiah, Israel fell to the Assyrians. They were taken captive. But Judah lasted for 160, 170 more years. Probably in no small part to Hezekiah turning things around. He started a national revival. God had the world superpower at their gates ready to execute judgment, but he turned it around. Because of Hezekiah, but Hezekiah was who he was because of Abijah, however you want to pronounce her name. Which is interesting. Her name, by the way, translates into Jehovah is my father. Interesting name. Clearly she fulfilled that calling in her life. Her earthly father was a man named Zechariah, not the one who wrote the book, but he was an advisor to one of the good kings earlier in Judah. A king by the name of Uzziah. We find him mentioned in 2 Chronicles 26:5. But clearly she lived up to her name, and she helped her son live up to the meaning of his name, which means strong in the Lord. This woman who had just one line in two places in the Bible. All this, her name is mentioned twice. Turned a kingdom around because of what she did. So I'm here to encourage moms. And I know that's something that nowadays, I talked about this last year on Mother's Day, motherhood is under attack. It's even more so now. Women are capable of doing many jobs as well, if not better than men. I'm here as a guy and I'm here to tell you that. Nobody argues that fact. But when it comes to being a mom, that's something only a woman can do. Women can be that strength, compassion, yet strong, yet loving. See, one of the great shames of the women's empowerment movement was to convince women that motherhood was somehow a lesser job instead of the noble calling which it is. And I'm not here to pick on any woman who works outside the home. My wife does. My mom did. Lots of women do. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong if you make a decision to not have a child. Nothing wrong with that. But I think it's a shame that society looks down on women who choose to be just a mom, as if they've made a second-tier choice. You know, a woman can make a decision to be a CEO. She could be an airline pilot. She could be president of the United States someday. She can do all these things, make all these changes, but you know what? A mom put her in that position to begin with. A mom set a woman on a course to make those life decisions. So if it wasn't for her mom, she wouldn't be able to make any of those changes that she's going to make. And if those changes are going to be good, it's because she had a good and godly mom. You know, women have been under attack by the women's movement for years. They've maligned them. They've tried to push them in the corner like, oh, you're just being a mom. You're just a housewife. What do you know about the real world? You have to negotiate bedtimes with a 5- and 6-year-old. You have to negotiate putting clothes on. That one's coming. That's going to be a fun one. Boys, for some reason, didn't want to keep his shirt on ever. I don't know what the deal is with that. You know, women think that in the workplace they have to negotiate these high-powered deals, and they're so important. And there's so many things that we do in the workplace. I've told you this story before about you work so hard at a job, and then they decide 10 years later to lay you off, and 5 years later the whole thing that you built up over a decade is gone. Even a build, you would build a strong building and it's gone. It's wiped away. The building I went to high school in just 30 years ago is gone. It's the parking lot for the new school. So you build some structure that you think is going to last, and it gets torn down by the next generation. But moms build something powerful, something that's going to withstand the test of time if done correctly. Your children will go on. You will teach them well. You'll teach your daughters to be good moms. And the pattern will repeat itself. That's the power of a mom. They're so important to us. I know that after God creating me, my mom is the one that molded me into something useful. Mary's been working on fine-tuning it since then. But what she had to start with was a result of what my mom did. See, moms are capable of... We read of God as Father, and He is. He's our Heavenly Father. He is God. He is all-powerful. And you're thinking, well, I don't have a... We tell people this all the time, well, if you don't have a good father, you can look to God. But if you don't have a good mother, you can look to God as well. Because there's some attributes of mom that God emulates. You know, nearly every prison sentencing, when somebody's in the courtroom, when they're being hauled away, 9 times out of 10, there's one person in that room crying. There's one person weeping for them, believing that there's something redeemable in them. That's the mom. And that's God. He believes there's something redeemable in each and every one of us. He believed that you were worth dying for. As a mom or dad would lay down their life for their children, God decided He's going to lay down His life for you too. So we'll touch on this again on Father's Day, but again today on Mother's Day, if you're like, well, I didn't have a good mom growing up. My mom wasn't good like yours. My mom didn't make the hard choices. My mom didn't make any choices. My mom didn't stick around. Whatever it is that your mom didn't do, whatever she was lacking, God will provide that. Look to God. He can provide that for you. He wants to be that for you. See, He loves you unconditionally. Because just like mom standing there in that courtroom weeping, God's weeping over those bad decisions you make too. He came to give you a way out of that. He believes in you. See, if you didn't have a mom that told you that growing up, I'm here to tell you right now, there's a God who believes in you. So much so that He died on a cross to give you a hope and a future. And whether you're Levi just starting out here or had many, many trips around the sun, it doesn't matter. You still have a future. You still have a hope. God still has plans for you. But our moms are being attacked. They're attacked for the choices they make. They're going to just be a mom. They belittle them for wanting to be a good housewife, for wanting to keep a good home, for wanting to focus on their children and not their career. And now we've got another one where we're like, oh, we can just replace mom with a second dad, and that's going to work out. It's two different skill sets. Dads are important. Moms are important. They complement each other. And I'm not saying that these people don't care for their children. I'm not saying that. It's just like, unfortunately, some women find themselves in circumstances where they're raising a child by themselves. It's not optimal. It's not me saying it. It's the science. It's the research. It's not optimal. Mom and dad together in the home raising a child is the best possibility. And then when mom and dad are together in the home with Christ as the center, now you're off to a really good start. And moms, you have to allow the dads to help. Dads, you need to help, because guys, I'm going to give away our secret. If you tell us you got this, we'll let you have it. We will. We'll be glad to go to the garage. Turn on the TV and tinker with something. Don't kick dads to the curb. That's another piece of advice for moms. If you're blessed enough to have dad with you, like I said, there are women that find themselves in situations where they don't. If you do, bring him alongside. And when they ask you guys, leave the garage. You can tinker later. Go help. You're needed to be there. And right now, Levi is the center of your home. He has to be. He's helpless. He can't do anything for himself. Human babies are useless. Just going to say it. I mean, you realize at hours old, other babies in the world are off feeding themselves, walking, moving. It takes a year for a human baby to walk. So they have to be, because they're so helpless, they have to be the center. But you know what? There comes a transition point where as they grow, they need to not be the center of the world, because somewhere down the line, they're going to walk out of your house where they're not the center of the world, and it will devastate them. That's another problem we're having. That's a big problem we're having in this country, is kids get devastated because, what do you mean I'm not the center of the world? I was told I was. See, my mom told me I was important. She loved me. She felt I was special. But at no point, maybe when I was Levi's age, but no point that I can remember was I the center of the world. The moms and dads loving each other and giving priority to that relationship will help set the proper expectations for that child. A, what they'll have in a relationship going forward themselves when they look for one day. And B, I'm not the center of everything. That's good to know. Moms are there to help foster good decisions. We don't want that first decision a child makes to be, do I get in my car with my friends that are drinking or not? You have to give them some freedom to make decisions. And I was blessed. My parents did that. I can remember the first big decision I got to make on my own. I think I was fourth grade. That it was like, I didn't have a bedtime. I had to be in bed at 9 o'clock every night. But when fourth grade started, they said, you can have your own bedtime as long as We don't have to call you twice in the morning to get up, and you're not falling asleep at school. You can stay up as late, set your own bedtime. The first night, school night with my own bedtime, I actually went to bed a half hour early. There was no more excitement of right, getting up to the right up to the line. See, they allowed me to make a decision on my own. They allowed little ones like that. So that's just a little life lesson for you. Take it, leave it, whatever you want to do with it. But it's important to understand that you can do these things as a mom to make decisions, help them make wise decisions. Don't make all the decisions for them. Because someday they're going to have to make a decision on their own, and you want them to have some practice with that. And you want them to make some bad decisions. You want it to be early on so you can clean up the mess easy. Not when it involves a trip to a courthouse or a judge or something like that. You want them to be easy decisions or to correct. But I'm here to remind you, moms, that you are very important. That there's no higher calling, regardless of what vocation you may have or have not chosen, motherhood is the highest calling there is for any woman. It is important. It is valuable. As I started out with, none of us would be here without it. And don't let what some influencer on the internet dictate what you should or shouldn't feel about your decisions. Don't let some celebrity who's on their third boyfriend this year tell you you're making bad decisions by focusing on your child and your household. Don't let some newscaster who can't tell you the difference between a boy and a girl tell you that being a mom is somehow bad. Or these followers of science, we were just talking about this earlier, they told us we were going to be inundated with rain all weekend. Thankfully, they were wrong. Give a chance for the ditches to dry. But it's amazing how they can speak so clearly about how it's going to rain this weekend or not, and they missed that one. But we're all supposed to take their word that what the weather's going to be in 80, 90 years. They think themselves so smart. That's what science will tell you. All these scientists, the ones that follow science. Look, children, all children have a mother and a father. They may not know them. They may not get to spend all their time with them. There may be circumstances. You know, Mary lost her father when she was 18 months old, I believe it was. She never got a chance to know him. But she knew she had a dad. Every child ever born had a mom and a dad. That's science. That's real science. That's hard science. It's provable science. And just because the situation that a child finds themselves in might not be normal, it's never okay for any adult to make a child feel bad about however they're being raised. That child had no control over that. So if a child does find himself in one of these two dad, two mom, only dad, whatever the circumstances is, by choice, not by choice, that doesn't matter. The child is innocent and should never, ever be made to feel bad about that. But there's also no denying that science says, the Bible says, nature says, the normal thing, every child has a mom and a dad. And if we celebrate that on Mother's Day, if that offends somebody, their offense is with science, with nature, with the Bible. It's not with us. So we're not going to apologize for celebrating moms. Women, not birthing people, women who bring forth life, who gave each and every one of us in this room the gift of life, and who did their best as they could. Remember, they were also human beings too. We all make mistakes. She forgave you yours, so you can always forgive your mom her mistakes, because she did the best that she could. Again, you don't know what grandma taught her. If you were raised by a good mom and a good grandma, praise God. That's one of the things you can be thankful for in a moment when we open up the altar. If you didn't, be thankful that you're still here today and you have a chance to set a different tone with your children, should you be blessed enough to have some. And that you're going to learn the right way to do that. The Word will teach you. The Bible will teach you. God will teach you how to be that loving, caring mom that you didn't have an example of. As I finish, I want to wrap up with this story. Of course, I'd have to come back around to Jesus. And in John 19:25, after all these strong men who've been following Jesus for 3 years, committed their life, dedicated, we're fighting to the death for you. You can count on us, Jesus. Well, one of them turned him in. A bunch of them ran away. One guy stayed with him, but you know who? Note who it says here in John. Who stayed? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. That's a mom. The anguish that had to be, as she sat there, standing there. I don't know if she could stand at that point. Seeing her only child nailed to a cross, suffering as he did. His friends abandoned him. Her heart breaking for him. A heart that breaks as only a mom's heart can. So I think as a father, I'd want revenge at that moment. I'd be looking for the person I could go take revenge on. But moms are just broken. Broken heart, broken spirit at that type of punishment heaped upon her son who had done nothing wrong. But she was there. And that's what moms are. They're there. We're thankful that those of us that have our moms still, we're thankful that we still have them. Those whose moms have passed on, we can remember how they were there. But what's really great is we have a Savior, we have a Lord who wants to be there just like that. At our weakest moment, at our most painful moment, the moment we're in anguish, where we're broken, He's right there with a broken heart just like Mary had. See, His heart breaks for you. He has a mother's love for you. And that's the blessing of Mother's Day. We get to celebrate our moms. If we still have our moms, thank God for that. Make sure you celebrate that, that you give her that respect that she has so richly deserved. She's earned it. I said, I'm not here to say your mom was perfect. I'm not here to make an excuse. I don't know all of your life circumstance, so maybe your mom wasn't the best. But again, I point out she did the best she could. And even so, if you found your natural mom lacking, the Lord is willing to pick up that slack and be that mom for you and show you that love, show you that care. Because He came to rescue you. He came to rescue you from the sin, from the eternal punishment. Not always the temporal punishment that we get here on earth. There's consequences. But He's promised us that He'll work all things together for good, that those who call on Him, who are called by Him. So trust in Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for your mom, because again, if not for her, you wouldn't be here. There's lots of moms who made a different decision in the last 50 years. So be thankful. Regardless, if you're under 50 here today and you may have had the world's worst mom, I would propose not really. You're here. That would be evidence not the worst. So I thank you for that. We thank you for moms. We appreciate everyone being here. I'm going to cut us a little bit short. Well, not too short, but we want to let everybody go celebrate with their moms today, what Mother's Day is all about, time with family. So I want to go to the Lord in prayer real quick. If anybody has anything they want to come forward about, like I said, the altar is open. Anybody wants to speak, has any questions afterwards, as always, I'm here to talk to you as long as you have questions. We're here to talk. But I thank you for your patience. Moms, again, one more time, thank you. We appreciate each and every one of you. You're so special and so precious, and the work you do is not overlooked. God sees it, and you are seen. You are known. And Mom, thank you. Love you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we're thankful for all moms. But especially we want to lift up the good moms. The ones that have taught us right. The ones that introduced us to you. The most important thing they can do is introduce us to you, God. And so for all the moms that have done that, thank you. We appreciate that so much. We appreciate them more than we'll ever be able to know. More than we'll be able to tell or repay. Almost like the debt we owe you. A debt we'll never be able to repay. For those of us who have moms not so good, Father, we just lift those moms before you. We pray for them. We pray for the moms that are struggling out there. God, that you would reach out to them and let them know they're not alone. That you do see them. That they are performing the most valuable service in raising up children. A job that, if done right, can have impacts throughout history. So we thank you for them. We pray encouragement. We pray strength for them. For Jaden on this, her first Mother's Day, we just encourage her, pray for her continued encouragement and strength in you as she faces the months and years ahead with the highs and lows, the ups and downs. Just thank you, Father, for all the moms, for everyone present here today. Again, we thank you for them, for each and every person who gave their time to be with us today. We're thankful for that. We pray that you will continue to pour out your blessings upon us. Make us sensitive to you, Father, as you go through this week. Let us see the opportunities you have for us to show love. The love that you gave for us, the love that you first demonstrated for us in the person of our mothers, we ask that you would allow us to show that to others. As we go through this week, we pray for those opportunities and make us on the lookout for them. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for all those present today that gave their time. And we thank you again for loving and caring for us, God, and for making this day possible. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. God bless. Have a wonderful week.